You're listening to the Golem Institute podcast series, The Rawi Gems, by Mufti Hussein Kamani. Golem is pleased to announce the Hadith Intensive, an immersive study into the science of Hadith and Sunnah. For more information, visit golem.org/hadith. And Jazakallah khair for listening.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafaa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhi astafa. خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الانبياء وعلى اله الاسقياء واصحابه الاتقياء اما بعد الحمد لله today in the Tarawih prayer we recited Surah Yusuf, and Surah Yusuf is a very beautiful part of the Quran, a very beautiful chapter in the Quran. This surah was actually revealed at the request of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said, O Messenger of Allah, we would like to hear a story. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he revealed not only a story, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ. We will not reveal to you any story, we will reveal to you the best story. And the story of Yusuf alayhi salam is such a beautiful story. It teaches us so many lessons. A young child at a young age has been given a glad tiding. And that's how all fairy tales start. A young child finds out that he has a bright future. And Yusuf alayhi salam, he accidentally shares that information with his siblings. So now there's a rivalry between the siblings. And then that rivalry takes the worst of the scenario, and Yusuf alayhi salam has to leave his parents at a young age. And when he leaves his parents, not only does he leave his parents, but his brothers are the ones who caused him to leave his parents, and they leave him at the bottom of a well. You know, imagine what a young child must feel like sitting at the bottom of a well. If we were to lock our kids inside the closet for a few minutes, they would start screaming and crying. And here this young child is sitting at the bottom of the well, and there is no way he can get out. For him, this is the end of it. No dad, no mother, no brother, no one. He's sitting at the bottom of the well. And this child who was a son of a prophet, his grandfather was a prophet, his great-grandfather is a prophet, is then pulled out of the well and sold in the market of Egypt as a slave. Where was yesterday and where is today? When I think of Yusuf alayhi salam's story, it reminds me of the story of the young kids in Palestine. It reminds me of the story of the young kids in Syria. It reminds me of the story of the young kids who were living in Afghanistan, the young kids in Iraq, the young kids in Burma, the young kids in Somalia, across the world, wherever Muslims are facing difficulty. It reminds me of their story. Because he was a young kid who had everything. He was from one of the most noble families. The Prophet said, Al-Karim ibn al-Karim ibn al-Karim ibn Khalilullah. He was a prophet, an honorable man, the son of an honorable man, the son of an honorable man, the son of the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here, Yusuf alayhi salam is sold as a slave. So now, a new chapter in his life. Then as he's growing, we learn the lesson of temptation. After that, he's put into prison, wrongfully again. Thrown into prison because of his innocence. Not because of his guilt, due to his innocence. And now when he's put into the prison, again, he uses every scenario to his advantage. He uses every situation in life to his advantage. When he's in the prison, he becomes a sheikh of the prison. And now people are coming to him for fatawa and questions. And he becomes such a valuable asset that the king outside of the prison has to come and ask Yusuf alayhi salam for advice on a particular issue. After that, Yusuf alayhi salam now becomes a treasurer. And while he's a treasurer, he has now become the person who was nothing, who was previously nothing, and now he is the person who the entire kingdom is coming to collect their ration from. And he's distributing, and as he's distributing it, one day as a line comes to an end, a group of people come forward. When he sees their face, he feels a chill in his body. Because the people standing in front of him were the very same people who threw him down the well many years ago. And all these years without his father were because of these people, and the same brothers were standing in front of him. And he saw them and said, all of you are here, but one of your brothers is missing. They said, well, that brother is at home with our father Ya'qub. There was an incident with another one of our brothers, and since that brother was, you know, that incident happened, our father has not let the other son go. And the other son's name was?
Binyamin.
In English we call him Benjamin. Binyamin and Yusuf alayhi salam were born from the same mother, whose name was Rahil. They were born from the same mother. Okay? So Yaqub alayhi salam, he wouldn't let the other son go. So he said, next year you guys come, you better bring him, otherwise no ration for you. Next year they come, they bring the other son. And Yusuf alayhi salam finally has someone close to him that he really loves. And he wants to bring him close. So now Yusuf alayhi salam, he used a very interesting trap. And it seems as if he traps his brother, but the reason why he traps him is so that the brother can stay behind with him. It's a very long story, you know, but it brings so many different aspects. Rivalry between brothers, temptation, the trials a young child has to go through, the change in life, being thrown in prison, responsibility as a treasurer, and then your connection, reconnecting with your family again. And then after that, the father's side of the story, where he is patient for all these years crying over his son because he remembers that his son was a special son. He was a prophet and he knew that the dream that his son saw at a young age was revelation. And he was hoping for that revelation to manifest itself, and he's waiting that these sons of mine are not prophets. It was that one. That was the prophet for my kids. Where is he gone? And he's waiting for him, and he's crying so much for his son. وَبْيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. That his eyes, they go dry. He's gone blind. A father's love for his child. His eyes, they go blind because he cried for his child so much. And then finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows the story to end in such a beautiful manner that now the entire family comes in front of Yusuf alayhi salam. And when they come in front of Yusuf alayhi salam, he's no longer a young child. He's no longer a 6-7-year-old young kid. Now he's an adult. And he is the person who is responsible of the treasury of the Egyptian empire. And his family is standing in front of him, and his father stands there. His father and mother, they stand there together and they perform sajda in front of him. And all of his siblings, they prostrate in front of him. And then Yusuf alayhi salam says to his father, هَذَا تَأْوِيلِ رُؤْيَايَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. Oh my father, remember when I was young I told you I saw a dream? Allah fulfilled the dream today. Salman al-Farsi said that it took Yusuf alayhi salam 40 years for his dream to come true. How many years? 40 years he waited. And now his father, his mother and father are now on وَرَفَعَ بَوَيْهِ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ وَخَرُّوا لَهُ السُّجَّدًا. Everyone is now being celebrated, and his siblings are in sajda in front of him. They're honoring him for the moment. And then now comes the test. How does Yusuf alayhi salam deal with it? His criminals are in front of him. The people who abused him. What does he do to them? And this is one of the most beautiful part. Yusuf alayhi salam says to them, لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّحِيمِ. I forgive you. You know, what kind of heart does a man have to forgive someone who sent him to prison? What kind of heart does a person have to have to forgive someone who stole your childhood from you? Who stole your adulthood from you? Who stole those happy moments of marriage from you? You spent your marriage years in prison and you're forgiving that person. Again, Yusuf alayhi salam, he's teaching us his story again, that this is how life should be. And then at the end, Yusuf alayhi salam makes a very beautiful dua. He makes a dua, رَبِّ قَدْ آتَيْتَنِي مِنَ الْمُلْكِ. Now that his life is wrapping up, he makes a dua to Allah, oh Allah, you gave me kingdom. وَعَلَّمْتَنِي مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ. And you taught me how to interpret dreams. فَاطِرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. O creator of the skies and the earth. أَنْتَ وَلِيِّ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. You are my friend in the world. Because even though my family wasn't there for me, Allah was always there for me. أَنْتَ وَلِيِّ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. And just as you were there for me in the world, I know you're going to be for me in the hereafter. Then he makes one very beautiful dua. And this is a dua we should all make. تَوَفَّنِي مُسْلِمًا وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ. O Allah, so far life has been great. Just now give me death as a Muslim. And وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ. And join me with the righteous in the hereafter. So the story of Yusuf alayhi salam is such a phenomenal story. It's beyond any drama, beyond any movie, beyond any thriller, because this is a reality. And this is such a true story that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relates it word by word in the Qur'an. An entire surah, one whole chapter of the Qur'an is dedicated just to the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. Now one of the important things about Yusuf alayhi salam's story, which I wanted to spend a few minutes talking about today, is how Yusuf alayhi salam saw this dream at a young age. As Muslims, we have to realize that dreams have meanings. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, before he received his prophethood, there was a phase in his life where every night he would see a dream. And he himself says that at night I would see a dream, I would wake up in the morning, and exactly what I had seen would come true in front of me. People see dreams that are real. Just 2 nights ago, I saw a dream. Was it 2 nights ago? Yes, 2 nights ago. I saw a dream and something very horrible happened to one of my friends. So I woke up right away. And I immediately messaged him saying that, I saw you in my dream, read Ayatul Kursi every day, may Allah protect you. You know, today he text messaged me saying, Sheikh, one of the most ajeeb things happened in my life that I never thought would happen, I need to come meet you right away. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts truth inside people's dreams. Where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told his companions one day, that revelation has come to an end. انقطع الوحي. Revelation has come to an end. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to bless you with glad tidings. And then one sahabi asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, what is the meaning of the ayah, لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَى فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. That for them will be glad tidings in the world and the hereafter. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَى فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا أَيْ الرُّؤْيَا صَالِحَةِ. That for them will be glad tidings in the world. What that means is, there will be truthful dreams for them. So dreams are a reality. However, how to interpret dreams, the different categories of dreams, which dream is real, which dream is not real, that's something that needs to be understood. So the scholars say that dreams fall into one of three categories. The first category is what we call ru'ya saliha. Ru'ya saliha is a truthful dream. It's a dream that has a meaning. These are dreams that are generally saw before Fajr Salah time, because the Prophet ﷺ said, أَصْدَقُ الرُّؤْيَا بِالْأَسْحَارِ. The most truthful of dreams is the one that saw it at Suhoor time. Suhoor time is right before Fajr is when we have our Suhoor. أَصْدَقُ الرُّؤْيَا بِالْأَسْحَارِ. And one narration, the Prophet ﷺ said, the one who is most truthful in his speech during the day will see the most truthful of dreams during the night. That's why the Prophet's dreams were always true, because they were very truthful people. They never lied. The Prophet ﷺ was known as being as-sadiq al-ameen, the truthful and the trustworthy. The scholars, they mentioned, a person who sleeps in the state of wudu is in the company, this is in the hadith actually, a person that sleeps in the state of wudu is in the company of the angels during the night. So that person is more likely to be inspired with truthful dreams, with pious dreams while that person is sleeping. We're going to come back to the interpretation later on. That's one category. Now, in this category also falls the category of dreams in which the Prophet ﷺ is seen it. The Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, مَنْ رَآنِي فِي الْمَنَامِ فَقَدْ رَآنِي فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَا يَتَمَثَّلُ بِي. Whoever has seen me in a dream, he has truly seen me. Because shaitan cannot take my posture, he cannot take my form. فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَا يَتَمَثَّلُ بِي. Okay, now there's another discussion. If five people were to see the Prophet ﷺ in their dream, and each of them was to define what they describe what they had seen in their dream, it's very possible the sketch will come out different. Are you guys following me? So what does this actually mean? So that's why the scholars they go forward and interpret. They say that every person sees the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they may see certain added or deleted attributes based off what the dream is trying to tell them. You guys understand? There may be some added benefit in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam description, or something may have a little less because that's actually the interpretation part of the dream. It is also possible for a person to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their dream. You know, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, he said that, I had seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in my dream 99 times. And in the 100th time, I said, if I see Allah one more time in my dream, I will ask Allah a question. And he said, I asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, what is the one thing that I can do that will take me closest to you? And he said, I was responded back by reading the Qur'an. Read the Qur'an, that will bring you closest to your master, your Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these all fall in the category of righteous dreams. The second category of dreams are what we call أَضْغَاثُ وَأَحْلَامُ. أَضْغَاثُ وَأَحْلَامُ are nightmares. Okay, so for example, you see shaitan in your dream, or you see something very horrific in your dream. And when you see something horrific in your dream, you're so frightened. The Prophet ﷺ teaches us the way to deal with this is to spit over your shoulder three times, to read أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, and then turn over and sleep on the other side. These are the three things that are prescribed. The scholars also mention another thing that helps from seeing nightmares is to read Ayatul Kursi before you go to sleep, because when you read Ayatul Kursi before you go to sleep, and if you sleep in the state of wudu, the angels, they surround you and they are there to protect you, as there are many hadith of the Prophet ﷺ in this regard. The third type of dream is what we call hadith al-nafs. Hadith al-nafs is that dream which a person sees as a result of what they were doing throughout the day. You guys understand? So let's say, for example, someone is reading Qur'an all day. When I was in Hibs school, I used to memorize the Qur'an all day. You know, from 9 to 4, you used to sit there and read because you were memorizing. So in our dreams, what would we see?
Just reading the Qur'an.
We're reading the Qur'an. I mean, it doesn't mean that you're super pious. Inshallah, that doesn't mean that. But it's common for you to see yourself doing a surgery in your dream if you do surgeries all day. It's very possible, my mother says to me, that beta, pata nahi kyun itne saalon se main dekh rahi hoon ki khwab mein nazar aa raha hai ki main khana paka rahi hoon. For so many years I've been seeing a dream that I'm cooking food in my dream. So I said, Mom, that's because you cook food all day. Right? There's no ta'bid for this at all. Just keep doing what you're doing, inshallah, and keep feeding people, Allah will give a reward. So not every dream has an interpretation. You guys follow what I'm saying? Yeah. If you're playing basketball, I'll tell you one story. This is a funny story. I just remembered it right now. I was in one state. I'm not going to say the state's name. I'll just say the East Coast. I was somewhere on the East Coast, okay? And it was Ramadan. And it was iftar time, and one family invited me over to their house. So I went to their house, we were having iftar. There was one kid who lived in the house. He was sleeping on the couch at iftar time. So while he was sleeping, he got up. And he walked right up to me, it was iftar time, we were eating. He said, Sheikh, I need to talk to you. His eyes were red, his hair was all over the place. I said, what's wrong? I'm eating iftar. He said, no, Sheikh, it's very important. So I said, okay. So I went to the side, I sat down with him. I said, what's happening? He said, I just saw a dream. I was in Afghanistan doing jihad. This kid was 13 years old, okay? He had these nice, big, chubby cheeks. He said, I just saw I was doing jihad in Afghanistan. So what is the interpretation of this dream? So I said to him, you tell me what's the interpretation of the dream. So he said to me, maybe it's my calling. I was like, this kid's crazy, right? So then at the end I told him, at that time, actually, for those of you who remember, Black Ops was released a few months earlier, 2 months earlier. So that kid was playing too much Black Ops, right? He was playing Modern Warfare. He was getting overdosed on Modern Warfare, and all he's doing is going around shooting people all day. So what is he seeing in his dream?
Shooting.
He's seeing people shooting, you understand? You know, when my mother first told me I see myself cooking food all day, I asked her, Mom, are you playing Fruit Ninja these days? Because what you do all day, what you're going to see in your dream is what you're going to see in your sleep. Hadithun nafs. So these are the three different types of dreams. Now, when you see a dream, it is important that you do not share it with people, especially if it's from the first category. If you see a dream, even the second category, the third category really doesn't matter. So let's just generalize it and say, when you see a dream, you shouldn't share it with every person. Dreams are not things that are posted and you tell people, because what happens is, especially when people see dreams from the first category, it creates a little pride inside them, that I saw a dream that had a true meaning. Maybe I'm close to Allah. I saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my dream. I saw this pious thing, I saw that pious thing. And then these people, they go to every gathering and they tell people, it's as if they are superior and the people in front of them are inferior. Because I saw the dream and you don't see dreams. There was one sister in the community, she used to call me every morning with a dream. I was on the verge of blocking her. So then before I blocked her, I said, sister, you know what? I don't know how you see so many dreams. Right? It's a very good thing, mashallah, something special about you. But not every dream needs to be interpreted. But she goes, Mufti Sahab, I don't know why. My sister doesn't see dreams. My mother and father don't see dreams. I see all the dreams. I said, kabhi chashmi utar, kabhi soya karo. Sometimes take your glasses off and then go to sleep. Inshallah, you won't see anything. If you've got bad vision, you'll sleep properly. Aram ki ninsoge. So, the first thing is that not every dream is interpreted. But the dreams that you do see that are righteous and pious, you shouldn't share them with everyone. Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi used to say, a pious dream is a glad tiding, but it does not give you superiority over any other person. A person who doesn't see dreams, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants him to enjoy his sleep at nighttime. Maybe he's resting on Ramadan. So you shouldn't feel that ego inside you. Other thing is that if you share your good dreams with other people, it is very possible they may end up being
hatred.
They may have jealousy. As we learn from the story of
Yusuf
alayhi salam lost his entire life because he made a mistake as a child. He shared his dreams with his brothers after his father said, don't do it. That's why they say, you do not share your dream except with a person who is either he's intellectual or that person is a good friend of yours, right? Habib, and then the other word is Labib. Habib and Labib. Labib means someone who's intellectual. Habib means someone who loves you because that person won't be jealous. Like Yusuf alayhi salam shared with his father because he knew his father wouldn't be jealous of him. Or you share with someone intellectual so that they can interpret the dreams. Now, to lie about a dream is a major sin. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, as quoted by Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alaihi in Sahih, that anyone that claims they saw a dream and they did not see that dream, they will not be allowed to enter into paradise until a camel enters through the hole of a needle. Right? Until a camel enters the hole of a needle, that person will not be allowed to enter into paradise. So lying of glad tidings is also a grave sin. It's something very big that we should be careful of. The last discussion I want to have for the night is regarding istikhara. Because this is something that's also from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whenever we make a big decision in our lives, we should make talabul khayr min Allah ta'ala. We should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless that decision of ours with good. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to do istikhara for all of his big matters, all of his small matters. Anything he was making a decision on, he would make istikhara. The idea behind istikhara is that you're making a dua to Allah to bless it with good. Sometimes after you do istikhara, let's take one step at a time. There are two types of istikhara. There is a smaller istikhara and then there is a greater istikhara. The smaller istikhara is to read this very simple dua before any big decision you make or any small decision you make. What is the dua? Allahumma khirli wakhtarli. Read after me. Allahumma khirli wakhtarli. This dua, you read it right before you make your decisions. Allahu akbar khayran sabir. The greater istikhara is where you pray two rakat. After reading two rakat, there is a famous dua of istikhara. You read it. For those of you that are married, you all remember it from your marriage days, right? For those of you who bought houses, you know from your house days. For those of you who have gone to college, you know from your college days. You read that long dua, and after you read that long dua, you go to sleep. Now the scholars say one of three things will happen. Either you may see a dream which will indicate you towards the right pathway. It's not necessary you'll see a dream. Everyone understand that? Or the second thing is that your heart will naturally be inclined towards something. Or the third thing, whatever decision you go with at the end, Allah will bless it with good. Now here's a question. Let's say, for example, I ask my father advice. That, Dad, should I marry so-and-so girl? Or I ask my father and my mother, a few friends of mine, family members, I ask a bunch of them, and they all say, this is a good girl, you should get married to her. You should get married to her. Now I do istikhara, and my istikhara says, you shouldn't get married. For example, maybe I wake up with fright in my heart, or I see a dream that's, you know, that's very frightening. So what should I do? Should I marry that person or not? So, in Hafidh ibn Hajar, rahmatullahi alayh, he says, shura takes precedence over istikhara. Shura takes precedence over istikhara. Consultation takes precedence over your istikhara. Why is that? He gives a very brief explanation. He says the reason is because your istikhara, the way you feel about your istikhara is due to an inclination or a dream. And that inclination or a dream could be affected by exterior factors. Maybe work you did the previous night, maybe something that someone said. There could be a million reasons why you are affected, and the reason why you woke up with that mood, or what you saw in your dream. It's not 100% that you saw that or felt that because it was a revelation. No person can claim 100% on that. However, when it comes to shura, taking advice, consultation, this is something established in the Qur'an itself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make decisions based off of
shura.
Off of shura. وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Allah has instructed the Prophet, make your decisions based off your shura, off your consultation. So that's what Hafiz ibn Hajar says, that you will give precedence to shura over istikhara. In summary, dreams are a very important part of a Muslim's life. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us all to see in our dreams the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us all to see our place in Jannah in this world in our dreams.
Amen.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves us from seeing anything evil in our dreams.
Amen.
And saves us from the whispers of shaitan. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.